I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for October 5th, 2020 to order. We welcome all of our visitors to the meeting this evening. If you have a particular issue you would like to address to city council, let me know by raising your hand when we get to that item in the agenda. I would also like to welcome Laura Bigelow, serving as our clerk this evening in the absence of Mrs. Booker. With that, will Mrs. Bigelow please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stow?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All seven members of city council are present in council chambers this evening, so a quorum does exist. At this time, I invite you all to join us in our pledge of allegiance, this meeting led by Lindsay Stow.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start our meeting and proceed with additions to the agenda, I would like you to stand up again. We've had a police officer pass away since our last meeting, and we will have a moment of silence in honor of Officer Michael Shaw and in support of his family. Thank you. These are very difficult times for all of us, particularly for police officers, and we send our deepest support to his family in this very difficult time. With that, I will move on to additions to the agenda, and I do have several recommendations for you this evening. I would like to add as agenda item 5A, proposed resolution 20-2020, which was distributed at your places this evening. It is a resolution requested by Councilmember Richardson concerning hours of liquor operation. I would like to add as agenda item 6A, proposed ordinance 74-2020, for your consideration following Mrs. Westphal's presentation of the public hearing held this evening at 7 o'clock. Those are my additions. Mrs. Westphal?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council? Mr. McCann?
None.
All right. Members of staff, Mr. Sanford?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to give an update on the downtown plan by Environmental Design, and I believe we would need to schedule a committee of the whole committee meeting for this coming Thursday.
Let's make that agenda item 13A, downtown plan update and schedule meeting.
Thank you.
Mr. Schroyer.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snore.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Brining.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
These people are usually much closer to me. They're I think maybe they like this arrangement, I'm not sure. All right, with that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended for this evening?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that the agenda be approved as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved for this evening. Agenda item 4 is approval of our meeting minutes from our last regular meeting on September 21st. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the regular meeting of Sylvania City Council held on September 21st, 2020, and I'm moving approval of those minutes as submitted.
It's been moved and seconded for approval of the minutes of our council meeting on September 21st, 2020, as submitted. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. Moving to agenda on item number five. We are happy to welcome into our council chambers Sheila Gibbs, the Director of Support Services of the Lucas County Children's Services, who requested an opportunity to present the facts of their levy renewal to us as a council.
Thank you, good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Is this direct your city council, or are you just a spread?
City Council are the seven people closest here.
Okay, I didn't want to have my back to people. My name is Sheila Gibbs, and my address is 1793 Lexington, Perry, Fargo, Ohio, 43551. I am a representative of the Committee for Children and Lucas County Children's Services, and I'm here to talk to you about Issue 18. Issue 18 will renew an existing 1.8 mil operating levy for 5 years. This is not a new tax, it's a renewal for us. The mayor had asked for some historic information on this levy, and it has come before voters 13 times since 1967 and has failed to pass on 2 times only. One was the first attempt in 1967, and the second was in 2014 when it lost by 3,100 votes. Voters last approved this levy in 2016 as a 1.4 mil with a 0.4 mil addition, and that year it passed at a rate of 62%. We have an additional levy at the agency as 1.85 mils was renewed in 2018 for a period of 10 years and has passed all 8 times that it's gone before the voters as a 5-year levy since 1981. We just last time moved it to a 10-year levy. This measure passed in every precinct in Lucas County in 2018, so we're very happy about that. The levy, the current levy, 1.85 mils, costs the owner of a $100,000 home $55.13 annually for $1.06 per week. This levy generates $13.4 million annually, or approximately 1/4 of the agency's operating revenue. The primary uses for these funds include casework services to families and children, foster care per diems, so those are what we pay daily for foster care or other care for children, contracted services for clients, which could include parenting, substance abuse, some mental health services, coaching for visitation, proper coaching, things like that, and building occupancy and routine expenses. Combined, our levy dollars represent 54% of our revenue, and they are unrestricted funds and used to leverage state and federal reimbursements for the care of the children. Lucas County Children's Services serves 1 in every 8 children and families in Lucas County. That's 13 out of 100 children come before us to be served. In 2019, we received over 12,000 reports of abuse and neglect of children, and we screened in and investigated over 5,000 of those reports. We provided services to 13,600 children in 2019, and caseworkers made 23,000 visits annually to children and families. So we're very busy. A lot of mileage, too. Not so much now, though. We're doing a lot of virtual visits and have saved a lot of mileage. The mission of our agency is to lead the community in the protection of children at risk of abuse and neglect. This is accomplished by working with families, service providers, extended family members, and community members to assess risk and coordinate community-based services, resulting in safe, stable, and permanent families for children. Our biggest challenge, as with the rest of the community, is substance abuse. The opioid epidemic has not let up at all. We saw a very slight decrease of cases coming in March and April, and we're back at our same numbers. It didn't even matter that school was out of session, although we've had some increased referrals recently for school. We're getting referrals for children not signing on yet this year to their virtual schooling. So that's one of the current issues that we're working on. Although that doesn't impact the severe safety threats to children, it still has long-term effects on children. So as we continue to deal with the opioid epidemic, and many, many babies being born positive from multiple drugs, domestic violence continues on the rise for us as well. And we have seen an increase in the intensity of domestic violence as we've gone through COVID, with people being, you know, stuck in their homes together, not as accessible to others, calling for help for them and different things like that. We also initially saw a rise in children being injured, severity of injury to infants in March and April as well. So we have done a lot of work to get the word out, to not shake infants, no co-sleeping. We try to do a lot of preventative measures like that, because co-sleeping is also an issue for deaths of children. So we are asking for your support for issue 18, and wanting the community to know that we're going to continue to service the children of Lucas County. We need your help. We can't do this alone. The children need us now more than ever. They deserve to feel safe and secure in their homes. They deserve to have forever homes. They can get a forever home by being returned to their family with services, by going to a relative, or even being adopted. We have very, very successful adoptions in Lucas County, so we're really happy about that. In 2019, we had 84 children that were adopted, so that was considered a success for us. Renewing this levy is critical to us. Thank you for letting me come here and talk to you tonight. I can answer any questions that you might have. We've sent along some information. If you need any more, we'll be glad to provide it. And I brought some yard signs if anybody would be interested in putting one in your yard to support us, and I can bring you some more of those as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I do have a question.
Okay.
So, for the money that the levies provide, the two levies,
yes.
You bring down, so if for our community that invests 55 cents on the dollar, you bring down another 45 cents on the dollar approximately in federal and state additional grants for the children, correct?
Yes, federal is 36%, state is 9%, and other is 1%.
So this is really about $25 million a year for the kids, not 13. 13 comes from us, the rest comes from the federal government through other tax, and the state government through other tax receipts, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Best wishes on success.
Thank you.
You're welcome to stay, but don't feel like you need to. You're welcome to leave, especially with the young one there.
Thank you so much.
With that, I would like to move us on to added agenda item 5A, which is Resolution 20-2020, as requested by Councilmember Richardson. And I'll turn right to you, Patrick.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can give a little background before I introduce it, but this came to me from the Sylvania Chamber of Commerce Business Restoration Task Force, and they thought it was a good idea, and after speaking to some of the local businesses, we all agree it was a good idea. So this is just a resolution. It's an attempt to let the administration in Columbus know our opinion on what we're going through in Sylvania. And I think it's a step in the right direction, something we can do to show our local businesses that we're on their side. With that, I can introduce it. If anybody has any questions or comments, I can.
I see that Mr. Fields is here. Well, councilmen should ask questions first, but Mr. Fields might help, be able to help with questions as well.
I have a question. I'm a little uncomfortable with rescinding a rule that's helping slow the spread, especially when parts of our state are still in level three. This resolution to rescind would be in response to a statewide rule. And I was wondering if perhaps as a part of this resolution, we might be able to add language to it that says for level one and level two counties. So that level of our counties that have a lower set score could help benefit the businesses more, but that counties that are still in level three, we aren't adding additional risk of disasters, but I'm hoping that could be a possibility for our consideration.
Ms. Dow, do you know what level Lucas County is right now?
We're currently on, and if we look at the map, there's only a few level three counties, and you know, it changes all the time, and I think this adds a flexibility to this resolution to where we're still supporting our drinking establishments, and we're still giving the governor attention, but at the same time, we're still abiding by state guidance and
And just a point of clarification, maybe the law director can help me. I did read it, but that's a good detail that you're pointing out. Is this really specifically addressing the city of Sylvania, or are we really talking about the state of Ohio with this resolution?
This resolution is just asking the governor. We don't have to go.
No, I understand that. But are you speaking from a statewide perspective, or are we simply saying we... You know, this is a position from the city of Sylvania.
It's statewide.
But it would be a statewide.
The ordinance that's in there is mm-hmm. the statewide ordinance. So, okay. And my thinking is that the ordinance 30D from the governor is statewide.
Okay.
And we're asking him to consider looking at that again and possibly rescinding it. And, you know, I think the breaking it down by levels could be a good idea. And I think that there's maybe some other creative solutions in here that could be good ideas. But that would still require this order, this executive order, to be rescinded. And I think that's what this is doing. And that's why I brought it up, and that's why I'm supporting it.
As a matter of reference for council members, we do not enforce this policy, this requirement of the state of Ohio. This is enforced by the State Liquor Control Board. Chief, we do not have officers out checking bars at 10 o'clock. So understand that this is not an enforcement issue that the city of Sylvania is pursuing. In relation to Ms. Dow's point, and I'm asking the law director, it seems to me that if we go to section one on the second page of this resolution, we could add some words here. I'm picking up on the second line. To rescind Rule 4301-1180 to permit liquor permit establishments in level one and level two counties to resume on-premise alcohol sales. I know the governor has been addressing this in his twice weekly press conferences. I discussed this specifically with the lieutenant governor last week, along with nursing home requirements, and they are in a very hard spot to make the right calls. And a resolution like this that says, hey, I want you to know how we feel about this is fine, but they have to look at the other side as well. For instance, I'm getting requests from residents of the city of Sylvania to shut down Halloween right now. But it has been the city of Sylvania's practice through the entire COVID problem that we coordinate and cooperate with the recommendations of the state of Ohio and the Lucas County Health Department. And we do not go out on our own and say, well, we're not going to pay attention to this part of it. That's not what your resolution is asking us to do at all. You just want the governor to know. And I do understand Ms. Dow's request that, gee, we don't, maybe if he just says it for level one and level two counties, then he doesn't have to worry about the level three counties, which I believe Cincinnati is in right now.
Sure.
So
I would say as far as that amendment, I have just, you know, I do have a concern that if it goes back and forth, that, you know, I don't know how often it can flip between a two and a three and then back to a two and then back to a three. And if that can be a weekly thing, is that can be difficult for the establishment owners to keep track of. And that's just thinking out loud here. But as far as compromise, I would be happy to, be happy to make that compromise if it meant getting the resolution passed. That's my opinion on it.
Those county ratings are issued every Thursday during the governor's press conference at 2 o'clock. Lucas County went to red, stayed there for a few months, but then came back down, disappeared from the top 15 counties of concern in his listings. But yes, it could go back up. You are right. That's what's happened down in Hamilton County. And it's beyond our control. And with people coming back inside, schools opening, there could be a problem.
Yeah, and maybe Mr. Fields could, perfect time if you want to, yeah. I feel like having to set schedules and things and maybe not knowing what your schedule could be the next week could be a problem, but.
Brandon Fields, one of the owners inside the Five Room. Just my take on all this is, from a time standpoint, it doesn't matter for us or Shinnick Road businesses following the guidelines. So we don't do any differently at 10 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. That makes sense. So kind of extending the hours in terms of that, like places are either doing what they're supposed to keep their employees and patrons safe or they're not. So in essence, it's up to the places to do that. Some of the issues with kind of the 10 o'clock rule is it's bottlenecking people. The fact that people who maybe were going to come out later now are forced to come in earlier. So now we're creating more people to come in at the same time as opposed to being able to spread people out. Another issue that's going to compound that is the cold weather with patio closing. I mean, us personally, we're going to be losing 6 tables outside. Don't know exactly when that's going to happen. If it's snowing, we want to sit outside, great, we'll serve you beer. But those people now are going to be forced to come inside. So now we have less seats, especially seats outside, to sit people. So that's just kind of some of the nuances with that. Obviously, Sylvania in itself is not a big late night place. We're open at 11 o'clock. We were open at 11 o'clock during the week. It usually die off around 10:30 or so, weekends at midnight, but still, even on weekends, we would be busy until 10:30, 11, and then after that, it would basically kind of clear off and die off. Another thing, especially on the weekends, our place and other places where they have long waits. You come in at, 8:15, 8:30, you're waiting for 45 minutes an hour, you get set at 9:30, 9:45. Now you either have to, irresponsibly start slamming, some drinks, or you're unable to enjoy a beverage when your food arrives at 10 o'clock. So just some of the various nuances with the rule. Obviously, the whole scheme of things of doing stuff properly and keeping people safe. In terms of the stipulation of level one, level two, I think it would be great, but there would be issues in terms of knowledge of places knowing about it and staffing. For instance, if we were planning on being open, till midnight on the weekend, and all of a sudden come Thursday when the schedule was already put out a week ago, now we're going to be either overstaffed or understaffed depending on which way it swings. Or whether we can be open later or not. So, but I mean, it's my understanding of this is just to help spur the conversation of whether or not we continue this or not in this case. So,
Mr. Fields, does your establishment belong to an organization of similar establishments that might be making a request to the governor like this?
Yes, the issue is part of the task force. That would meet regularly to kind of discuss things and things of how to help local businesses. And also to kind of just in general keep everybody kind of on the same page informationally wise and just kind of band together, if you will.
What if I'm obviously
we're
going to have to the ability to make the rules on if there was an amendment for level one or level two, but if that were addressed in such a way where if it was in level three consistently, so let's say 3 weeks, then it might be able to turn over and you would have a week or two to then comply with it to give more of a buffer zone between transitions. So let's say we go up to level three for 2 weeks and then we come back down to level two, you wouldn't have had to make any adjustments within that time. what the formula that perhaps work, or is there a certain type of, there's a little less up and down risk, and maybe a little more easing of any sort of transition?
I think anything is worth, we personally, with us, it's, it would be our job. I mean, just like this whole entire thing in general, it's stuff that changes weekly. So if there was something where, depending on the level, we'd have to adjust accordingly. It's kind of, it comes with the territory in terms of knowing that that may be an option. So if it comes out either, yeah, either eliminate it or add more people or something like that. Yeah, so I mean, it's from a business owner, I think you just have to take on the thought of that on Thursday, you'll make the adjustments for the weekend. So I think having it would be fine. I think you'd run more into the issue of the patrons. Similar to like when DOR was first enacted, of people understanding and learning the rules with that. So I mean, that would probably be the best example of it. It would just be from an education standpoint. I think it's a more issue would be of people knowing that, okay, this weekend or whatever, you can't, have a beer or a drink after 10 o'clock, but then next one you can, or something like that. So I think that's in overall, that would be more the issue would be with people. Because, like Dora, it would fall back on businesses with Brandy and the jerks and stuff, not allowing it, not necessarily idiots, because of the government and the government's rules. But like this, I mean, anything.
Yeah, my thinking is with this, if it rescinds the order that's an all-out, everything closes at 10, there's people in Columbus that if they come up with a really creative solution, then they do, and that's great. But I think what this is saying is what's happening now isn't working, and I'm very concerned about places like yours and others as the cold weather rolls in, and we see how successful the DORA and the outdoor dining and the thing J&G has put in, and the overhang, and that's all going to go away soon. And that on top of there are bars in Michigan that are open until 2 a.m. And there are bars in Lambertville, 4.5 miles away from here, that are open until 2 a.m. And I've seen it personally that people leave here at 10 and go there. And that's money fleeing the city. And I'd rather have the money here and making sure our businesses stay afloat. I think that I think this resolution does that, and I think it's my goal was to be in a respectful way, because I do support the governor. I certainly don't envy him and wouldn't want to be in his shoes with this situation, and I'm not trying to do anything like that, but it's giving an insight on what we're going through up here.
So thank you, Brandon, for coming and spurring the conversation. That's just actually what we needed. I should mention before I even start, I did get one email from Kevin Joyce, I don't know if anybody else did, who is opposed to passing this resolution, for all the reasons that, that we know that about infection rates. And I'd like to think that I'm on your side, but I also think that like hand passing a resolution that's going to be a piece of paper on the governor's desk isn't exactly proactive, and that, so I noticed that the mayor of Chicago, he launched a contest with a $5,000 prize to come up with winter outdoor dining options, and there were like over 400 submissions, and you can see like plans and websites, and if we were going to do something really proactive, and I don't know how everybody else feels about this, but we actually have property. We have the historical village. We have a train barn that's heated with roll-up doors. We have a carriage house. And we could, the historical village, I'm not sure if there's going to be any kids coming there in the next year and field trips. But even if we did a year extending the DORA and using some like creative outdoor dining concepts, I would, and if we could fast track that somehow, I would be so into that. But I don't really think this resolutions don't really have any teeth, and I don't feel like it's going to do anything to help you. And I feel like it's kind of disrespectful to our governor, who I support. So I want to be on your side. I want to get tons of outdoor dining options going, but I feel like this resolution is weak.
I can come up with some great stuff on Maplewood, if you want me to shut it down.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the answer. I feel like we started out strong and then maybe we didn't do exactly the right thing, but we need to reinvestigate. We need to, like, get on a fast track and get something going before Thanksgiving, probably, like, get something real going downtown, because, I mean, we had something, and then instead of doing something in the middle ground, we just kind of stopped. I think we could do better.
I mean, I agree with all that, and I think that would be great, but I think that this resolution, at the very least, it doesn't hurt. You know, I don't think it's going to offend the governor. I think that it's stating our opinion, it's showing what we're going through. You know, I love the creative solutions, I love to see the outdoor dining, I think we should do all that, I think that's all great, but, you know, while this doesn't have any legal weight, it's not changing the law, it can't hurt, and I think we should pass it, and, you know, be one more voice of groups that are coming out and saying that we need to support our local restaurants. I mean, they've been through enough, and I think the creative solutions are great, but a lot of these places are barely hanging on. And I think anything extra we can give them to get some more revenue in the door is going to help, and I think that this, send this to Columbus, I don't think it hurt.
You know, Katie, I think you've come up with some great suggestions, and they're all things that should be looked into. I agree with you on that. I think it'll take a little bit of time, but we did some pretty fast things with Dora, so who knows what the opportunities are. So, but what I would say is this, I don't see anything that that prevents us or suggests that we shouldn't move forward with a resolution, because I want to support our local businesses, and I want to really send the message to you, inside the five family, friends in our neighborhood and in our community, as well as to our other partners in the community, that I 100% am behind you, and I believe without question that our community has to find a way to get through this winter, because we're going to be all winter long locked up. So in the interim, if we can find a better solution, I'm all for it, but I think to share with the governor that we have concerns is the right step at this point in time, and I fully support advancing this resolution. I don't know where other council members will land on this, but there's nothing to be lost in sharing with the governor these thoughts. I do think that Ms. Dow's thoughts about a level one, level two, also speaks to us being concerned about safety from our community citizens. But whether you're there at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, I'm not sure that I completely understand the difference, right? If you can be having a drink at 10 o'clock, but changed at 10:05, I'm not 100% sure. So I'm behind it.
Brandon, thanks for coming. I hate resolutions. Really hate them. And I have fought against them for 17 years of Texas. I hate giving other people advice on things that we don't have control over. I have tweeted as a governor about this. You know, the powerful tweets of the city council. So they don't fire him. I'm not yet swaying swayed his mind, apparently. I have talked to some lobbyists in Columbus who have been actively lobbying on behalf of bars and restaurants and liquor distributors, and the impression that I got from them is that the governor has talked about this a lot, but is pretty resolute and not moving. But, you know, that can change tomorrow. And that's my, I'll probably live to regret it, because there are more resolutions. I think I've kind of come around to your discussion of bottlenecking was interesting to me. I hadn't thought of that as a problem. I haven't been going out much, I understand that problem. So I think I can support the resolution as written, and leave it to our friends in Columbus to come up with a more creative solution if they want.
You know, I would also add that while I think that the suggestions that we have from Mrs. Cavallini are wonderful, it would be nice to have both of those things happen, right? Because we still have to have our distance to tables, our six-foot distancing, our masks. So we may still need the internal support to midnight, but some external options as well so that we can drive more business to our community and help our small businesses maintain their revenue in the most, most opportune way.
I support the resolution. I agree with Ms. Cavallini that we should try to do more to support the businesses. But as written, anything that we can do to encourage the state to help open the businesses, to gain more revenue, to help, let's get past this. We're already doing it safely now. 2 additional hours of doing the same thing, I don't see as being a risk. Having family members having COVID already, I understand personally what this means. So I feel that this is something, again, we're just putting a resolution to the state, but let's get our word heard. And then other creative solutions, I think, should follow.
Since I'm the only one who hasn't said anything so far, I'll throw my 2 cents into the what's worth category. I think 10 p.m. is arbitrary. The bar or the restaurant's either doing and handling things properly or they're not handling things properly. And the governor's assignment of the 10 p.m., I think if I tried to crawl inside his head, understands his thought process, having, although it's ancient history in my brain, having been to a few bars many moons ago at late hours. I suspect that there's not a lot of social distancing going on at 1 o'clock in the morning in some bars. But those same bars probably at 9:55, there's not a lot of social distancing going on at those places either. So I understand, I think, what he's trying to do, and I want to be supportive of him. I just think this one's pretty arbitrary. And therefore, I would be supportive of, like you, Mr. Hingham. I'm not real big on resolutions, but it's sometimes it does make sense. Ms. Stout, to your point, I think your suggestion is a great idea. I just don't know that this is the right spot. I think that would be something that the governor and his staff, his administration, would come back and say, okay, if we're going to make some modifications, let's do it on level ones and twos. Let's not make the route modifications on level threes, just based on the statistics. And I agree with, you know, with everyone, Katie, your the thought process. Hey, if we can figure out a way to make this make sense somehow, we need to look at that too, because we are running into the tough season for outdoor dining and the like. So. I think we should consider moving forward on this.
So if there's no more comments, I will go ahead and introduce it. I think everybody's given their thoughts on this. Do you have anything to add, Mr. Mayor? All right. Resolution number 20-2020, a resolution of the council of, I'm sorry, all members of council having previously received copies in advance, I'll read by the title only. A resolution of the Council of the City of Sylvania urging the governor to rescind Executive Order 2020-30D and the Ohio Liquor Control Commission to rescind Rule 43011-1-80, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 20-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. However, before proceeding to the vote, Ms. Dow, do you want to propose amending it? It doesn't sound like there's support there to amend it, but you can.
It sounds like this may not be the way to get that creative idea.
All right. With that, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Brack?
Yes.
Mrs. Cavallini?
No.
Mr. Hanen?
Yes.
Mr. McCann?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Ms. Staff?
No.
And Mrs. Westphal?
Yes.
Vote is 5-2, and the motion passes. Resolution need only be read by title only, and the second and third readings may be waived. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move final passage of resolution number 20-2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 20-2020 as an emergency measure. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
No.
Mr. Fry?
Yes.
Mr. Hanem?
Yes.
Mr. McCann?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Ms. Stout?
No.
Mrs. Westphal?
Yes.
Vote is 5-2. The motion passes, and resolution 20-2020 is approved. Thank you for the discussion, Brandon. Thank you for being here. If you have any creative ideas, and whether it's Maplewood Avenue or other areas, what we can do to help you out, please let us know. You can work through Mr. Sanford or come directly to me, whatever is more comfortable for you.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 6, report of a public hearing held in this council chamber at 7 p.m. concerning zoning amendment 1-2020. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, a public hearing was held this evening, Monday, October 5th at 7 o'clock. Regarding zoning amendment 1-2020 about South Briar LLC, and present were all members of council and many members of city administration. This was a public hearing that had been recessed several times. This was, but we were able to advance it this evening. The zoning changes went to the Planning Commission for review in May, and they did with a unanimous 5-0 vote recommend that the council approve the zoning change as requested. They did have a suggestion for an inclusion of detailed specifications of the improvement that will be completed to an adjacent commercial center. This zoning change looks at adjusting the property in the South Bar area, adding 21 parking spaces, and changing the entry and exit onto Main Street, and also doing some general facelift of that particular property. Mr. Orvich was here, Mr. George Orvich was here for some comment and to respond to questions. There was nobody here to make public comment either for or against this zoning amendment. So after some discussion among city council members, Mr. Hanem moved and Mr. Richardson seconded that we advance legislation this evening, and then the public hearing was completed about 7:15.
You do have distributed to places this evening proposed ordinance 74-2020, which would approve the recommendation of the Planning Commission to make the zoning changes. Mr. Hanem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 74-2020. All members of council have previously received copies. I'll read my title only. Approving the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission to approve petition for zoning ordinance number ZA-1-2020 on the petition of David Schmidt on behalf of South Briar LLC to change the zoning of 5111 and 5123 Main Street in the city of Sylvania, Ohio, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 74-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 74-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 74-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 74-2020 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 7, we are back for our third evening of temporary easement approvals, which we are required to do one at a time. Mr. Aller.
I won't say anything unless there's any questions.
I'm sure you're shocked by that. Most of these have been relatively modest sums of money, except for the one at 6006 Cushman. I noticed on the drawing it has an arborvitae, location, but I just wanted to ask a question, is that why the price is so much higher?
I would guess because of, let me get to it, but I have a feeling that it's because of,
Okay.
Is it all of the, for the most part, all of the easement areas were the same? It was just a difference of the...
Yeah, this is two lots, but other than that, I didn't see anything that was jumping out at me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of X's in there.
Yeah.
I know what property that is, yes. Yes, it's the other side.
Okay. I assumed that that's what it was, but given the price differential between this and some of the others, I thought much probably that.
Yeah, probably that's it.
It's okay.
Keep going with your property story, but as soon as I look at the easement, yeah, that's the property that has it.
Right. In case Mr. Schultz calls me and says, how do I get 266 and some other dude got $8,400 to buy? So I want to be able to answer that question.
Absolutely.
So.
And as previously stated, the cost of these easements is built into the project estimate and we're still within estimate.
Yes, yes. Because of the storm system, the project cost increased a little bit, but we're going to utilize some of the stormwater assessment costs. Somewhat anticipated. They had to be higher than we thought, but we spoke down on the project. Assuming we get these taken care of, I'll come next week with hopefully the final match. One of the properties was switching hands and it was selling, and so that all of that process is complete, has been closed. So now we're going to work after the morning. I'm not anticipating any issues, but so hopefully we'll have the rest of that next meeting be done.
With that, we'll start going around the table with different committee members reading. Mr. Fry, you're first as street chairman with ordinance 75-2020.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 75-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Vincent L. Sperling and Kayla M. Needing for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating a temporary easement for the public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 75-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 75-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 75-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 75-2020 is approved. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 76-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only, accepting a temporary construction easement from Peter B. Schultz for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for the public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 76-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 76-2020. As an emergency measure?
Second.
It's moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 76-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 76-2020 is approved. Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 77-2020. All members of the council having previously received copies of the read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Luke G. Cutliff and Brooke A. Cutliff for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 77-2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move final passage of ordinance number 77-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 77-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 77-2020 is approved. Mrs. Capellini.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 78-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Chung W. Tang for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes. Appropriating funds therefore, waiving a second and third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 78-2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you. I'd like to move final passage of ordinance number 78-2020.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 78-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 78-2020 is approved. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 79-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Marvin Real Estate LLC for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 79-2020 be read by title only, and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 79-2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 79-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 79-2020 is approved. Thank you, and we'll be back with the last batch in 2 weeks. Turning to page 2 of our agenda, we are up to agenda item 8. This is a sanitary sewer easement. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is kind of an odd situation that we found a couple years ago, and then we've just kind of been working with various property owners. Back in 1989, the city extended sanitary sewer down King Road and actually had a right-of-way agreement with the property owners at that time for a 15% sanitary sewer along King Road. That agreement was signed by the property owners, but unfortunately, we've gone back through the record. We can't find where it was ever formally accepted by city council or reported with the county recorder's office. So, in 2017, that lot was actually split into two lots, and when the owner of the what became an empty lot came in to start pulling permits for the house, that's when we discovered that the easement wasn't actually in place. So this is a basically cleaning up that missing piece from 1989. This easement is with the Nowakowskis, who are the owner of what used to be an open lot, but are building the house and been on King Road. This is the new house that's going on. Did their deal with that lot. And they signed the easement for it. We've talked with the other property owners of the existing house, and we're working through that. They were actually having some sewer problems, sewer issues. We've assisted them. It turns out that it's not anything on the city side, it's something on the private side. But we're trying to get that cleaned up, and then I think that we'll get that easement as well. They're not really arguing, they're just having sewer issues. And it was a good time for them to get their sewer questions answered when we came out and put it. So we're getting all of that resolved, and I think we'll be bringing that one to you. But this is basically a cleanup from 1989, and we will recommend it.
Thank you.
Kevin, is this in the city?
Yes.
Thought it was, but I just thought I'd ask that question.
Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 80-2020. All members of council have received copies in advance already by title only, accepting a permanent sanitary sewer easement from John E. Nowakowski and Cynthia Nowakowski, dedicating the easement for public purposes, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 80-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move passage of ordinance number 80-2020.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 80-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 80-2020 is approved. Mr. Aller, before you move on, is this the same Nowakowski family as Hank's Plumbing and Heating?
Yes.
Is John the senior John that I know, or is this a son?
No, the son.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to agenda item number 9 for a water line easement on Monroe Street. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As part of the Sumo development, we had the requirement that the existing water line that runs on the north side of the hotel property and basically dead ends into the Sumo property, we had the requirement that be looped into the water main on Monroe Street, so that it will provide proper fire protection for their fire system, for their system and fire pumps. We've had a difficult time. Our initial requirements of that were that the section underneath Monroe Street had to be directionally drilled. We didn't want to hold the cut on Monroe Street and have to deal with traffic issues, tearing up our main thoroughfare and things of that nature. Unfortunately, when we took a look, when we found out the utilities and everything that are in place, a directional drill just is not possible. There's just not enough of a gap that any company or I as an engineer would feel comfortable that we can thread this thing through without damaging some of the utility. So it is going to have to be open cut. And because of that, we'll need some additional room on the north side of Monroe Street, which is property that Dave White owns there at his offices just east of the Rite Aid store. This is that easement. We've talked with him. We've assured him that we'll restore the area to the condition that it was prior to the easement. And they have agreed to that, and we recommend approval of this easement as well. I do want to point out with this construction, the timing of this construction is going to be at the same time. We're going to be, as part of our capital improvement plan that we bring to you, we're going to be part, it will include the redecking, rather, of the Monroe Street Bridge over 10 Mile Creek.
Over the North Branch.
Over North Branch, 10 Mile Creek. When that project, this water main is going to be done at the same time that we take that bridge out of service. There is going to be a two-week time period where Monroe Street will be closed to traffic. The bridge reconstruction and this water main construction will take place during that time.
Anticipated in May of next year?
Anticipated in May of next year.
I'm already making travel plans.
there's just no way around it. There will be additional other construction on the bridge on the walkway areas that will take place after that. We will have single lanes in each direction, but we do have to close it to traffic.
This will be a training program for 2025.
Assuming we all survive.
I've already discussed with Mr. Aller, did he realize that it's an election year next year? And petitions will still be open at that time. I have discussed with Mr. Aller and with Chief Snorr the possible detours. And as you know, with proper signage and notification, many people will find another way to go. People in your neighborhood, Mr. McCann and Mrs. Westfall, will probably head south on either Centennial Road or Main Street before you get there. The official detour will be south on Main Street. I don't know if I like everybody going across Ravine.
We may take that down the ground so that we have signals.
But we try to alleviate the amount of traffic, but not everybody gets the message. There's just no way around it. But we will have the problem of access to businesses for those 2 weeks and emergency response during those 2 weeks. And we will have to work our way through those, and it will be a difficult 2 weeks, no doubt about it. I thought this was an appropriate time to put council on notice that it's going to happen in May. We've discussed dates in the summer when school buses wouldn't need to drive across it, but there's also the issue of the marathon golf outing. And the timing for opening of the east tower of the Somo Flats. This is a key factor for them to pass their fire sprinkler test and get an occupancy permit. And they're currently telling people that, well, depends when we get the water. So this easement needs to be done for the open cut water main. And I can understand we don't want to drill through a bunch of existing utilities.
Just not enough.
So we're doing two projects at once, right at the same location.
Why are we waiting? This is needed.
Because the bridge project won't be until we don't have it as part of this year's budget, and so we have to wait until next year's appropriations are done. And also timing-wise. We're trying to work between not impact schools any more than we have to, but have everything done by when Somo Flats wants to open up the east building and also be complete by the golf tournament. So we've got a tight window in that.
And Mr. McCann, we are not holding up the opening of that tower. They will not be ready until then.
Okay, and that was my question.
I've had a few people call me and say they've been told they can't open that building maybe until December of next year because of the water issue. That would be holding them up.
Okay.
Doing it in May is
not. That's where I was going. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
The West Tower is smaller and will open up sooner, late this year. But the East Tower, which is larger, has a greater water demand for the sprinklers in it.
And the type of work that's being done on the bridge deck cannot be done during
Mr. Allen, I'm probably jumping ahead here since this is for next year. I'm assuming there's going to be penalties attached to whomever is doing the bridge construction.
Please.
That if they don't get it done, first of all, they're going to get the phone call, the 1-800 number, and we're going to, but that's going to be part of the contract.
Okay. There'll be a very tight window and very stress that there's no room in that.
I am not really making travel plans for those 2 weeks.
I am.
Laura is. All right. Mr. McCann, this one's yours.
Thank you, Mr. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 81-2020. All members of council have received copies in advance. I'll read by title only. Accepting a permanent waterline easement from Dave White Real Estate LLC, dedicating the easement for public purposes, waiving the second and third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 81-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 81-2020 as an emergency measure.
It's moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 81-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 81-2020 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 10, retaining wall redesign services. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When we initially started into this project, it was our plan to use a product called Ready Rock for the construction of the wall. When we got into the actual project, it was discovered that the height of the wall did not lend itself to the use of Ready Rock, that they were not able to withstand the lateral pressures as put on the wall in nature. So we transferred that design to a basically a poured-in-place wall with a decorative face on it. It was going to need a foundation at the bottom that would come back onto an adjoining property with a couple tieback supports. Since that design took place, Ready Rock has developed a new product that will handle the height of the wall that we have, that we will have if it was constructed. That product is much cheaper than a built-in-place wall. The total cost of the wall, there's been a lot of moving parts on this project because initially we started with just the area within SOMO behind the hairdresser place with a gun shop. That was the only section we were looking at. Since that time, we purchased the what used to be the tire store property. That area, if you've ever looked behind there, is in desperate need of a retaining wall. So we extended this wall to be able to cover both properties. The cost of a constructed place wall across that area ended up being about $965,000. The cost of this Ready Rock product is going to be in the neighborhood. We still don't have a final estimate, but it's going to be in the neighborhood of about $450,000. However, we have to redo the design because of what we had already done for the one type of wall. Ready Rock works with DGL engineers based in Long Beach. We've done a lot of work with them. And continue to do a lot of work with them. They're on three or four of our current projects. But that's the consultant that Ready Rock uses to lay out the designs of the walls and make sure that they've got proper transition and all of that type of work. So accordingly, we're now requesting approval of the proposal from DGL consultant engineer in the amount of $21,700 to design the new system utilizing the Ready Rock. Even with the other engineering that we've already paid for and everything, we'll still probably be $450,000 to $500,000 to even after paying those other design costs. So we think this is the way to go, and we recommend approval to the board.
This is a good time to remind council that we do have state capital improvement grant funds in the amount of $600,000 that we are dedicating to this improvement. These are not taxpayer dollars, our local Sylvania taxpayer dollars.
I mean, this sounds almost too good to be true. You feel confident about this?
Yes.
The product.
Initially, it was the product that we wanted because we knew it would be much cheaper and hold up. And what they found, Ready Rock, if you're going along I-75 or someplace, a lot of the wind walls and that you see on the bridge overpasses, that's the product. It's a Ready Rock product. And what they found was that ODOT's needs were becoming higher and higher, and so they just advanced their product. They have two different products for us now, and this product will work for us.
And we use this or a similar product on 10 Mile Creek, immediately west of Main Street, I believe.
Yes. I have a good position. Yes.
If you want to have a look at what that looks like. All right. Any questions for Mr. Aller? Ms. Stow.
Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 82/2020. All members of council have received copies in advance, and I will read my title only. Accepting the proposal of PGO Consulting Engineers LLC to provide engineering services for the South of Monroe SOMO retaining wall design, appropriating funds therefore in an amount not to exceed $21,700, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 82/2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 82/2020.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 82/2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 82/2020 is approved. Thank you, Mr. Aller. Moving on to agenda item 11, we have proposed ordinance 83/2020, authorizing us enter into an agreement with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners for the provision of public defender services in 2021. Mrs. Briney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an annual ordinance that we do to authorize public defender services for the commissioners they provide them to us. And you can see over the years, we've done it since 2005, and last year we paid $12,900 for that service, and this for 2021, they are charging us $12,150. We are now paying out per case basis, and the number of our cases is gone up in the different ways, so.
Any questions? Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 83-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement on behalf of the city of Sylvania, Ohio, with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners for the provision of public defender services to the Sylvania Municipal Court for the year 2021, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 83/2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 83-2020.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 83/2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 83/2020 is approved. Moving to agenda item 12. For many years, we have had Mrs. Barbara Conover as our representative to the Toledo Lucas County Board of Health. Her term recently expired, and she let me know that although she very much appreciated serving on the board, that she did not wish to be reappointed. I can imagine that the time and commitment of being on that board has increased greatly in the last 7 or 8 months, and she was ready to make a change. So we will be sending her a thank you letter for her service to the city. She was a nurse, a nurse in a very supervisory position with ProMedica, and served us well. In the past, we've had physicians serving on the board for us, dating back to Mrs. Westfall's father, Dr. Newton, who served on that board for many years. And we went out looking for an appropriate appointee at this very difficult time to serve on that board and represent us. And after considerable work by myself and Mr. Sanford, we've had a resident step forward who is a resident of the city of Sylvania, and I believe you all have his background included in your council packet, brings excellent credentials. He is a retired physician, but still serves on several boards and is still active and is very much interested in adding this onto his current list of projects and public service. I was met with him last week. I was very impressed. And I encourage you to confirm my appointment of Richard Lawrence Monk, M.D., as our Sylvania representative to the Toledo Lucas County Health Department.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move confirmation of the mayor's appointment of Richard Lawrence Monk, M.D., to the Toledo Lucas County Health Department.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to confirm the mayor's appointment of Dr. Richard L. Monk to be our representative on the Toledo Lucas County Board of Health. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and that appointment is confirmed. We'll let Dr. Monk know that. That brings us to committee reports. We did have agenda item 13A added, a discussion of the downtown plan update, and to schedule a committee of the whole meeting for this Thursday. Mr. Sanford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you stated, this Thursday, October 8th, we are scheduled to have a meeting with Michelle Johnson. That is going to be a virtual meeting. I know I had said that there was a possibility that she'd be here in person, but with our contract, we have one more meeting of being in person to see how things go the rest of the year. We won't delay that, but she will meet with us virtually. It'll begin at 12 noon. We will use the council chambers for any of you that want to come here, be part of the group, and Chuck's going to connect us to that meeting, and staff will be here. She will give us a recap of what she's learned from the two meetings that we've gone through with her. And we've got added publicity, added other comments. There's a lot of information. And I think this would be a great time for you. Any questions that you have, maybe there's other things that you picked up along the way from talking with people after some of the publicity, this would be the time to bring your questions. And that's a meeting, I think most of you can. Doug, I didn't think you could. If we're doing it virtually, I'm probably, good, then that'd be great. But if anybody couldn't, just submit your questions to me, and we'll make sure that they are heard at the meeting. Any questions now?
You're expecting an hour or so meeting?
Should be an hour at the maximum.
Okay.
Lunchtime, that seemed to work without calling you, so I'm glad it works. And this is part of the process, and she'll also explain the remaining time on the project.
All right. I need a motion to have the clerk post a committee of the whole meeting for Thursday at noon.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to schedule a committee of the whole meeting for this Thursday at 12 noon here in the council chambers or by via Zoom. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the purpose of the meeting will be the discussion, update and discussion of the downtown development plan with our consultant, Michelle Johnson. Are there any other committee reports to be made at this time? Or agenda item 14, committee referrals? Hearing none, let's go down to information item A. You have from the Division of Taxation, the payroll tax report through September. And Mr. Schroyer, you're here to answer any questions. You'll see that there was a big difference in September. We went from 2.3% or so now to 5% for the year, and it was a 20% reduction during the month of September.
Yeah, we're watching that to see if it's the time. We see a lot of times we go month to month like that, depending on how the days end. But then the month the days are, that can be affected. So a little better idea how it comes in during this month.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Schroyer? I think it's appropriate at this time to give an update on the CARES funding that have coming the city's way. There have been two rounds that the city has received based on the Neighborhood Development Block Grant funding formula. We got about $520,000 the first round that was deposited. We've received another 240 some thousand, is that correct? In a second round, and we've been informed that there is a third round that the governor is signing off on. that will not be distributed based on community development grant funds, but strictly on a population basis. We're still going to receive about 700,000 or so. That was issued, I saw that memo come out last week, and Sylvania Township is going to get over $1 million because of their higher population, which, you know, good for them.
All funds are going directly into the general fund, because that's where we pay the increased wages from.
As you know, there are requirements for the use of those funds. We have been working on those. I discussed them with the Lieutenant Governor a couple of weeks ago. Last week, Mrs. Brining attended a virtual conference with the Ohio Municipal League, which gave us some more guidelines on that. And we believe that we are going to meet those requirements by putting them into our first responder budgets. Mrs. Brining, you had mentioned to me that we may need to do another ordinance before the end of November.
That's correct. I believe that was the recommendation that we the state auditor's office that put on the webinar, and they recommended just preparing some legislation for your consideration that would be to appropriate and reallocate the first responder money specifically from the CARES Act fund. So I will have that. We have this one in November to pass that ordinance.
We believe we are meeting the requirements of those grant funds, and that does help us out a great deal with this loss of $438,000 of payroll tax to date.
Mayor, did that total about 1.4 million?
Yes.
Is that right?
Okay. Close to the 1.5. Mr. Schroyer, are those funds accounted for in these numbers here, or is...
When I sent out the monthly one-page financial summary, it shows the general fund balance. If you notice there, our general fund balance is up to 8 million now, and eventually I will transfer that balance to the capital fund balance to make up for what the auditors have asked us to do.
Thank you.
With that, is there any other business for discussion this evening? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, October the 19th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.